From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread, boys and girls. The Three Musketeers are back together this week. What does that mean? Well, it means me first, because I'm talking now, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in Potbread, which is in the east of Slovakia. It was -7 as I drove to work the other day, and all my little bits got cold. But, you know, other than that, it's beautiful out here. You must come and see us one day. In the UK, because he's now back from his journey to India, it is none other than the award-winning Mr. Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. How wonderful it is to be back in Britain.
Well, that's going to wreck the rest of the programme, because I was going to talk about something you're going to do, and you sound nothing like it.
Yes, I'm sorry. I've just realised.
Would you like
to start again?
Right. In the UK, we have the award-winning Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. It's wonderful to speak to you. I've been in India, as you're well aware, and I'm...
Oh, cut. Don't overdo your part. And in Paris, it is none other than co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander's back.
Hello there, my little crotte de chien. Comment ça va?
Ça va très bien, merci.
if we're the Three Musketeers,
yeah,
you're Porthos.
Right.
Because you're fat.
Right.
I'm D'Artagnan because I'm gorgeous.
Yeah.
And he wears Aramis.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. It doesn't get better, does it? Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio X in the US, to Replay Radio, RTI, of course, and the wonderful people on the move listening on Audio Boo, which I'm now pleased to tell you I've tested all of those, and so I can walk down the road with an Android working and an iPhone working and even an iPad working, and we're glorious on all three of them.
You don't want to talk about your pads. It's your age.
Thank you very much indeed. Loads of messages in this week, most of which are congratulating somebody, which we'll get to. Shall we do it now and get it out of the way? Otherwise, he's going to be precocious for the hours.
Go on, then.
He will, won't he, Mark? He'll just be precocious, won't he?
He will be precocious, yes.
Yes.
I've always been precocious.
I know you have. Anyway, hot news this week. In fact, anybody from around the world can do this because... BBC Radio 4, the FM service, is available globally via the BBC iPlayer, even if you're not in the UK. So if you go to the BBC website, go to Radio 4, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning live, but it will also be a podcast as well, which you can listen to. Lee Banks will be joining Sandy Toksvig on the Travel Show on BBC Radio 4.
Fantastic. But can I just ask one thing? It's not on the iPlayer, because the iPlayer definitely won't play outside United Kingdom.
So no, it's on. If you go to what is the iPlayer, it now comes up with a message and tells you can listen to radio.
Excuse me.
Right. Two things that I must correct you on.
Well,
first of all, ladies and gentlemen, you will hear that I actually now talk in my BBC voice, and I will not be being the jolly, funny chappy at the other end of the microphone. Mm. And also, it actually isn't Sandy Toksvig we're talking to tomorrow. It's John McCarthy, that wonderful journalist John McCarthy.
Are you talking to John McCarthy? Well, it is a co-host.
Yeah, she will be disappointed then, won't she?
Yeah, it's a co-hosted programme with Sandy and John.
Yes, that's right, and John's going to be talking to us, and we'll have quite a serious conversation, and you will hear a different side of my life.
I point out,
as somebody who's just come back from abroad,
yes,
you can get iPlayer abroad.
I know. The word you were looking for, Lee, was repertoire.
What have you done to your repertoire? No, is that why you're wearing pants?
So anyway, what's the name of the programme, Lee?
It's called Excess Baggage, and it's one of the best, most well-known travel programmes ever created in the whole of
Don't
this world.
Overplay your part.
It's a really good, intelligent programme. That's what we need more of, intelligent programmes.
Well, I think it is a great programme, and I'm sure tomorrow is going to be the best ever edition as well.
Gosh.
Yes, and I've got my serious head on.
Gosh. And in fact, quite a few people have already been Facebook messaging saying they'll be tuning in tomorrow for the first time ever to the programme. So That's 50 pence you owe us, BBC, for the free publicity.
Yeah.
Let's move along. The programme's all about a sideways look at the news, as always, with a bit of comedy thrown in now and again. But, of course, that won't be here this week because Lee won't be doing any. But there again,
I'm serious.
But there again, there won't be any vast pregnant pauses as we don't laugh at his jokes. So it'll be better for the programme. Sadly, sad loss this week is Ken Russell, who died aged 84.
Oh, no. Absolutely. What a loss as well.
Yeah, it really is.
We're off now, aren't we?
He was probably one of the best film producers of the 70s, 80s and the 90s. But like all great artists, all great flamboyant artists with an incredible image, an incredible vision for the future, he lost his way. And for the last decade or so, he's not really been doing much at all except making films in his own little house in the Lake District with his family and his friends. And he was putting them out on internet. And nobody was watching them, and I think that's an absolute tragedy. But he was one of the best English filmmakers ever.
He really pushed the limits, didn't he? I mean, it was quite amazing. I was so surprised to see, actually, that he's directed comparatively few works compared to, you know, a lot of other directors. So, you know, he's very much niche. And,
Yeah, he's done quite a few. Remember, like, he started with Lair of the White Worm. And then he made Savage Messiah, which was about, I thought that was Marla, wasn't it, I think?
Can you wake me up when you're finished?
Oh. Yes, dear.
Can you wake me up when you're finished?
But they were great films, and I mean...
They were brilliant films.
Do you know, you two sound like one of those art critics now. And I'm sure you're going to come into framing the shot properly in a minute.
But he didn't frame shots properly. He ripped the cinema screen apart with such powerful images. He was like a cinematic Bruegel. He was the Hieronymus Bosch of the cinematic art. He was amazing. And yet, in films like Women in Love and things like that, he could paint with the intricate delicacy of a constable.
He would have sounded so much nicer when he said it. But you're quite right.
Right, okay. And the good news is he did direct something, Good Things, which, of course, was The Who's rock opera Tommy in 1975, which was, I have to say, very, very, very ahead of its time. And I think that's the problem with lots of guys like Ken Russell, where they have this massive surge of interest and they do all this creative things, but they stay where they were, whereas the world's moved on, and that's the point I would make.
I'd have to disagree with you on that. He moved on. I'll accept that he was out of his time when he was in his mid-60s, but he had a phenomenal career, which stretched over 40 years, and it was, maybe his vision of how cinema should be did lose its way slightly, but you can also see now how influential he was in many modern films that now take on his take on life. And
anyways, Lee's over there, Mark's over there, and look behind you. It's a pantomime dame, but she died.
Oh, no, that was a terrible introduction. The poor chap died on stage. And not only did he die on stage, the poor chap, he was wearing women's clothes.
Well, that's because he's a pantomime dame.
No,
it's
a bit unfortunate, though, isn't it? Well, it's his badge of honour.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Bev Smith, who was a news reader on the old Associated TV channel, and then at TVS. I wonder which TVS he... Oh, he's in Southampton, not the one over in Maidstone. Sadly died when he was actually on stage, so I'm sure that was exactly what he would have wanted to do.
Sorry we took the mickey out of you.
No, because these kind of people actually love being on stage and would hate us to be negative.
You died in women's clothes.
He was on stage performing.
Yes, performing in women's clothes.
Stop it. Anyway, something of lesser interest.
No, don't joke about this.
I'm just saying something of lesser interest, which we will now hand over to our resident RIP type person to tell us the story. Over to you, Lee.
It really is a simple twist of fate, isn't it? Another creative genius lost to the world. Don DeVito, Bob Dylan's producer. has shuffled off this mortal coil. He spun his last spinning. It's now over. I think that is tragic. He was 72 and he's gone. He did some incredible things. He didn't only produce Bob Dylan, you know. He produced Bruce Springsteen.
No, sorry, I won't do that one.
In your case, Born to be Mild. Billy Joel. Aerosmith.
Yes.
All those. Yeah, he was a brilliant man. Brilliant recording.
Oh, fair play to him.
And it's sad, really. I know we take the mickey out of people. But he's gone. He's gone, and it's a sad loss to the world.
Okay,
and well, Uncle Bob's
quite,
really
quite
upset.
Young as well, age 72.
Yeah,
prostate cancer, very unfortunate.
Indeed. We're going to run through quite a lot of stories this week, boys and girls. Therefore, I'm going to cut that one short because this is incredibly important. Please take note of what we're about to tell you. Please listen. Don't go and make a cup of tea and go, or don't say, it could never happen to me. That's the worst thing you could say at this particular point. There has been a statement come out from a group called Anonymous, which, to put it in context, these are some of these hackers or hacktivists, as they call themselves, who have joined forces with other hacktivists and are looking to use credit card fraud, which they will then take that money and give it to charities and homeless people, hoping that the rest of the population won't get upset. Now, they will get upset, so, you know, very stupid. But this statement has come out. It's called Operation Robin Hood. Ha-ha. What a joke that is. And they're actually sort of cocking a hoot to everybody, including the police, even the FBI. They say nobody will touch us and blah, 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 blah. Mark, what should people be doing at this moment in time to protect? It's near Christmas. What should we be doing?
Well, it's really very, very difficult because if somebody's going to hack into your account and take your money, and that's what these people apparently are saying they're going to do. They're going to hack people's accounts or they're going to hack bank accounts. And I don't know if they're going to simply skim off one or two pence or they're going to take the whole lot and then somehow or other credit it to the bank accounts of charities and poor people. But if that's the way it's going to go, all I can say really is that you've got to keep a daily lookout on your account and keep an eye on anything strange and report it to your bank straight away. And I'm not sure that there's much more to do. And I'm very sorry to hear that this organisation is doing this. I mean, they're clearly a very, very skilled organisation. But I think it's very misjudged. And I think that you may think that you're taking money from the rich and giving it to the poor. But I'm sure that, you know, they can't always be certain it's the rich who are losing the money. And there could be lots of people who are just having difficulties at Christmas who suddenly lose that extra bit of money. Mm. Maybe their accounts are going to be frozen by the banks. Their direct debits are going to fail. It's going to cause difficulties for their families, going to cause difficulty for their children. I don't think really that it's possible to predict exactly who you're taking money from and the effects of it, the consequences of it. So I think this is very, very poorly judged. I'm sorry to read the news.
I think you're quite right. Yeah,
well, let me give you a quite one of my normal sideways thinking top tips. As we know, in many parts of the world, you can get free banking and free banking accounts. Mm. Therefore, have two bank accounts, please, boys and girls. It can be handy, and this is reason why. You have one of them with just enough money in it to do your shopping online if that's what you wish to do, or the one that you would use if you went to a shop you weren't comfortable with. You know, it can have £100 on it, €100, $200, whatever. But keep your other one safe and don't keep the bank details to that on a computer. Don't use it on the internet. Only use it at a proper, genuine, bona fide bank cash point. And just transfer some money from the big account to the little one. Even if they get to your account and hack it, the worst you're going to lose is a few dollars, pounds or euros. They're not going to get to your big money. Think of your big money as being in your bank and let them get the small one. And it's just an amazing thing to do. You also tend to think about what you're spending as well. So think about it as an idea and use an online one that has just the right amount of money on it, not too much, not too less, and keep your bigger money in a different bank safely out of the way, which you do not use online or in places where it's possible for people to use the details incorrectly.
Yeah.
Very sensible.
That is sensible. The only thing is that in some countries, it's not possible to get any kind of free account. So in other words, you know, in order to defend yourself against an organization like, what are they calling themselves now? Team Poison.
Team Poison.
You know, you may not have the money, and yet you might be obliged to, if you want to do that, a very sensible idea, spend, you know, sort of £10, $10 or $15, you know, per month on just doing that, just for the security. Is this really, you know, if these people listen to this program at all, I need to ask them, you know, is this really the kind of effect that they want to have? Do they really want to kind of cause this stress and difficulty? If they really, you know, if they want to see the kind of problems that have, then come along to the Consumer Action Group and read some of the problems that people have and get an idea of the difficulties people have when they suddenly find that they are without money or their accounts are suddenly hacked. It takes a long time, and I can tell you the one people who don't lose in the end are the banks.
Correct.
The banks never, ever, never lose.
Well, there's also the fact, isn't there, that most people think that if you lose money on a credit card to some sort of crime, that the banks will automatically reimburse you with it. And generally, I think they do. But there are occasions when they won't. And
correct.
This could well be an occasion.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What they're trying to do now is also sue the companies who who's had the money spent with them. Try to regain the money. So this actually hurts everybody.
It really does. The route to reimbursement is very long, very tortuous.
Let me just tell you one other thing. Whenever, as you quite rightly said, the banks don't lose out, Mark, if they do lose money in the first instance, it's the customers who pay it back in the long term.
Absolutely.
If it's an insurance fraud, your car insurance goes up. Mm. If they've been buying and selling goods on the internet, the next time the cost, if it goes back to the manufacturer, the next time the manufacturer has to put the cost up. So
absolutely.
Whichever way round, it's the general public that lose
absolutely.
Out. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's move on again.
We are at the bottom of the pile.
Absolutely. Be careful, boys and girls. It is Christmas. We know we should have some fun, but just look after your money and use it wisely. Cash often helps. And if you're not sure about an internet shop or an internet something or other, even if you're a long way away from them, give them a phone call. And say,
did you hear that, Mark? He said, let's move on, and hasn't shut up about it.
Thank you. And phone them up and say, can I pop round and see it?
He's on about it again.
Stop it. I'm giving advice to the customers.
You know what? Pop around and see it.
Yes. I asked to go to the shop.
Rude man.
You know what I think is also pretty disgusting is that they're using the name Robin Hood as well.
No, exactly.
Because Robin Hood was just a criminal. What about his compatriot from the 20th century?
What, Lee Banks?
No. I've forgotten the joke.
Thank you. Continuing this week has been the Leveson-Leeson Inquiry in the UK, which is looking into press standards and what we should and shouldn't be doing. This week we've seen Anne Diamond, who rose to fame on a breakfast television channel. Before that, she was a press reporter working out in the sticks. She started off as a rookie journalist. However,
and she was gorgeous!
She still is quite gorgeous. She's
we're
handsome.
Talking about her professional abilities here. I mean.
She's handsome
her
now.
Professional abilities,
and
yes.
What Anne Diamond's called for is for the press industry to come into line with broadcast standards. And when they quizzed her about this, said, well, you know, what about investigative journalism? Mm. She actually said Panorama is a good example of investigative journalism working under guidelines. And this all came to part because...
No. So just look at Anne Diamond's career. How can she say...
She's on the BBC 5 days a week. That can't be all that bad.
No, actually, I think she's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think Diamond is absolutely stunningly brilliant. You're quite right, Anne.
Here we go. Here we go.
You don't know if this spelled programme wrong.
Have I?
Right. Did you do that?
That was me.
Well,
why have I spelt it wrong then?
Because that's a computer program, not a television program.
Oh, right.
P-R-O-G-R-A-M. That's a computer program, you nerdy.
That's because it's got an automatic spell checker on a computer doing it.
Which is, how stupid's that then? Why can't spell things properly? This thing's supposed to be taking over the world. I want to say something about Anne Diamond, and I don't care if she's on the BBC.
Go on, then.
She's another has-been who's being wheeled out to attack the press, the thing that she used to build herself a major career. She's been on in the press talking about her suicide, her suicidal tendencies, about her weight problems, about
the tragedy
of a child. And now she's turning on the one thing that she used to build her career. She ought to be ashamed of herself.
Well, I have to say that I think the Leveson Inquiry is really opening up my eyes. And although we need freedom of the press, not at any cost. And I have to say, the press really has done themselves a disservice, and a disservice to everybody in the country, and
you're
maybe everybody worldwide.
Left-wing trollop.
Yes, maybe.
That takes us straight on to the next story. Thank you very much. Right. Jeremy Clarkson's in trouble again because of some left-wing
trollop. Who really pays attention to this man? I mean, he's not a journalist. He's not a politician. I mean, he's not even a clown. He's just a character, and he character merchandises himself. And the fact that he's...
He is a journalist.
Barely. Scarcely.
He's a motoring writer, a journalist.
Well, he's not a journalist because he hasn't hacked into anybody's voicemail, so he can't be a journalist.
Very good. Very good. Anyway, over 21,000 complaints have been received by the BBC after an outburst, as a lot of people would put it, on BBC Television's One show. Now, I've got to say, this is beginning to annoy me a little bit. And I'm going to read the transcript of the programme. This is the transcript of the programme.
Good day.
I think that's the Strikers, have been fantastic. Absolutely. London today has been empty. Everybody stayed at home. You can whiz about. Restaurants are empty, said Mr. Clarkson. It's also like being back in the 70s. It makes me feel at home somehow, said Mr. Clarkson, before adding, but we have to have balance through this, because this is the BBC, and went on.
Good old BBC.
I have them all shot. I would take them outside and execute in front of their families. I mean, how dare they go on strike? When blah, 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 and he carries on. It was satire.
Of course.
Absolutely.
This whole thing's been spun out of control. I mean, there's somebody wants to get some mileage out of this, and just basically to extend the publicity for this strike.
Yeah, but who is it? Yeah, Unison. Unison are the people who have blown this out of proportion.
Of
I think it's so cynical and also ludicrously naive on the part of this so-called union. This naive, namby-pamby, middle-class, oiky union who jumped on the bandwagon. Do you know what they did? They claimed to have gone to a lawyer to try and sue Jeremy Clarkson for saying it. Anybody with a modicum of sense realises, what would you actually sue him for? Exactly what are you going to sue the man for?
Absolutely
they
nothing.
Told that by their lawyers and then went on to continue to say, we have been given a road to go down by our lawyers and we will pursue this. The road to go down by your lawyers was shut up!
No, the road was the M25, round and round in circles.
Well, it is round and round in circles. And I mean, 21,000 complaints is unprecedented. I wonder how many of these complaints have actually been somehow stimulated by Unison. I mean, 21,000.
The sheep follow.
Well, exactly that.
It's all the old Unison members.
Anyway.
Quite a coincidence. I mean, a rarity round number, isn't it? 21,000. Wasn't 21,001?
No, to be fair, that's a pricey figure, and it did have numbers with it as well. But the point is, I have to say my opinion, and we'll just do it quickly. My opinion, one sentence, it was satire. Lee?
Absolutely satire. Not actually.
That's two sentences.
Work.
Mark?
It had a butt in it. It had a butt in it.
Mark?
Completely agree.
Thank you. Serious stuff for a moment that is important, unlike others. NPower have told homeowners to prepare for cold temperatures. The Met Office in the UK is predicting very cold snaps, and it looks like winter's just about to start in the UK, which means there'll be one leaf on the line and the trains won't work. However, this is the serious side where they're actually saying to people, look at what you're doing to save money.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a good thing. You know, people should look at the boiler. If you haven't had it serviced, and you might be a bit hard up, get the boiler serviced and it'll save you money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, there again, you have to say, this is, again, the cynicism of Britain. Because they keep putting up the prices, they keep putting up the prices, and then telling us to use less to save money. Stop putting up the prices and let us use what we need to use.
Yeah. Right. Can I say that this is actually the cynicism of NPower, if you want to know, because absolutely. I've visited their website. They're on a big sell, okay? They're trying to basically sort of capitalise on everybody's fears at this time of the year to sell more servicing, to sell more accounts and what have you, and they've got something called NPower Fix or Power Fix or something like that, where you sign up now and you get a fixed...
No, Mark, don't do that bit. No, we haven't put that in on purpose.
Why?
Well, because we don't want to get them any business for free.
Well, we're not getting any business for free, because I can tell you what, that they've got a deal going, and then it particularly says, I mean, this is NPower, you know, looking after society and being practicing citizenship, and it specifically says at the bottom, of course, that this deal is not available to you if you have a prepayment meter or any other non-standard payment methods. In other words, this is not available to poor people and old people who are going to freeze their what's-its off over. It's only useful to people who don't need to buy it anyway. Thank you, NPower. Go away with the rest of the power companies, because, quite frankly, you're a load of artists.
I tell you what, may I continue on that vein of passion that I admire Mark for showing in such a powerful way. That also, when I returned from India 2 days ago, somebody has stolen my central heating oil again.
And now NPower try to sell it off on their internet.
No, NPower
would not. I don't see why that is funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, NPower would not do that sort of thing.
Use oil.
No, but it is true to say we should insulate more. You can turn lights off. You know, I live in a country where insulation is the standard, and it's not used in the UK. I remember, you know, insulation in the loft that was like 20 years old and out of date and worn out, whereas in Slovakia they do look after that sort of thing. They will regularly recover buildings. You know, they save energy and they save money because of it, so that's cool.
In England we don't use insulation, we use isolation. We isolate our old people and we isolate our poor people, and that's the way that
I quite agree. Banks should brace themselves to withstand the extraordinary serious and threatening economic situation, says the boss, Sir Mervyn King of the Bank of England.
Yeah, well, the banks ought to be bracing themselves for a kick in the ghoulies, quite frankly, and I'm very sorry to be using that kind of language on this family show, but how extraordinary. You know, once again, the banks are being helped out. I know that's not the particular point of this warning, but in fact, I notice now that in order to try and originally, when the banks were bailed out, part of what they did was they gave undertakings about the amount of money they were going to lend to businesses to try and sort of pick up, Britain's ailing economic prospects and to inject some capital in there. And of course, what do they do? They've let everybody down. They haven't been doing it, and they've just been busy gathering capital and not letting anybody have it. So actually, you know, Britain, you're on your own. Businesses, you're on your own. So finally, the new scheme now is that the banks have now been persuaded to lend up to £40 billion on the basis that £20 billion of it is indemnified by the British government. In other words, of the taxpayer. So once again, not only have they had all our money sort of saving their backsides from sort of extinction over the past few years, they're now running a business model where they can go about their business of lending people money and making profits on it, but if the money's not paid back, then once again the taxpayer's going to pay it.
That was part one of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We'll be back in a very short jiffy. Do not go away.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.